Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16. We'll get you to stand and stretch a little bit. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, found in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16. The Bible said, verse number 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart." Or that word upbraided means to rail or chide. The Lord was a little upset with them about their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach on the parting words of Jesus. It's a lot of words that Jesus could have said. I wonder tonight, if you and I had been diagnosed with a disease and we only had a few days to live, and it come down to the low end of what the doctor had said, and if you knew that you only had a few parting comments, what would you have to say tonight? I really believe that's the way that we ought to live. We ought to live as parents to our children, always encouraging them and loving them, being true to them. We ought to try to raise our children that we would be their hero. Amen. We ought to teach them what's wrong and right. And we ought to live with one another in the church house as it could be the last service. My goodness, we never know when we're going to walk out of this thing. But certainly Jesus knew that he was leaving. And the Bible said when he had said these words, he parted, he left. And I'm glad to know where he's at tonight. He said after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Well, what is he doing there tonight, Pastor? He's waiting on children like me and you to come and run to him that he may intercede for us, that he may grab our hand and grab the hand of God and bring us together. For he is our mediator tonight. He's the only way to heaven. And I'm glad when we sin after we save, the Bible said if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I'm glad that he went on a cross, he went in the grave, he got up, and he walked through this world for a few short days, and then he ascended up into heaven. And my Bible says he's on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and I. You see, when he went back, he took a heart different than what he come with. You see, he came here as God-man. And he had never known sin. He was man, but yet he was God. And now he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it is to walk around in this world as a man. And so now we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help and mercy in the time of need. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus does care. Jesus cares about His children. And you know something? Jesus is able to fix anything that is wrong. And I bless His name tonight that He didn't just go to some faraway place and we got to do the best that we can till we get there. But oh no, child of God, He's seeing about His children tonight. And He said, if I go away, then I'll send another, the Comforter. And He will abide in you forever. I'm glad He lives in me. And honey, what Jesus does, He does forever. Once saved, always saved. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. I'm glad that I didn't get saved because I worked my way in. Because if I worked my way in, it means I could work my way out. But oh, I'm so glad that the grace of the Lord Jesus brought me under conviction of sin and drew me by His love, and I was able to reach up to Him. But tonight on these parting words, I want to talk about three things that I see in this passage. First of all, I see a mission. Number two, I see a message. And number three, I see a ministry. Now Jesus, listen to me, child of God, Jesus didn't save you just to come to Liberty Baptist Church and sit on a church pew. You see, we're not working for Jesus here. My goodness, this is a privilege to come to church. Brother Mike and I spent some time together this evening. He said, Pastor, isn't it amazing that it's a chore, it's a job for some people to come to church? We ought to be excited to come to church. As Brother David said tonight, when this family joined, he said, you know something, I found a place that I want to come to. It ought to be something here that gets us excited. Friend, Jesus is excited. The Holy Ghost is amazing tonight. And that's something in our church, you'll never know what's going to happen till you get here and leave. Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord is not in the cookie-cutting business. He don't cookie-cut preachers, and He don't cookie-cut sermons, and He don't cookie-cut ministries. Every ministry has a flavor. But I've noticed this about the Holy Ghost. Be careful. I noticed this morning, I told somebody to come sing, then I'd preach. No, I didn't. We had two or three songs, and then I prayed. So the Lord knows what He's doing. But God didn't just save us to put us in the church and just to try to be obligated and be wore out in duties. Honey, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. And it's a blessing to be a Christian. And I'm so glad that I've got a Heavenly Father that I'll never die, that I'll never have to say goodbye to. I'm glad He left me the Word of God as my manual to keep me walking in the straight path. I'm glad He's put a Holy Ghost in my heart that when I do wrong, He convicts me of my sins. And I'm glad when He comes and He meets with us, we can raise our hands and worship and bless His good name. It's okay to say amen and be a Baptist. It's okay to raise your hands and be a Baptist tonight. It's okay to come to the altar and pray and be a Baptist. Now, this little old boy tore my heart out this morning. His daddy and his uncle come to the altar and he come with them, knelt down. I say hallelujah. We ought to encourage our young'uns to come and pray. Our altar's open anytime. I don't have to give an invitation for you to come pray. Oh, my friend, the altar's always open at Liberty Baptist Church. But God did not just save us to put us on a church pew. Here I want you to see what He said. He said unto them, go ye into all the world. They don't sound like it's an option. He's not suggesting anything. Friend, it's a commandment. Go ye into all the world. We think, well, you know, that's for preachers. And that's for Sunday school teachers. And that's just really not for me. Well, let me ask you, is salvation for you? Is being saved for you? By the way, He says, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. That's not an option. It's a commandment. We all ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. If all church members were filled with the Spirit of God, it'd never be a cross word. It'd never be any kind of animosity. It'd be no jealousy. My goodness, could you imagine getting a crowd of people like this all filled with the Holy Ghost? What would happen down in Liberty Baptist Church? But He says, go ye, the mission. First of all, we see that He wants us to send the gospel. He says, go ye into all of the world. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse number 1, I want to share a few verses with you tonight on these parting words. on this great commission. I got saved in a missionary Baptist church, but I didn't know what a missionary was. Isn't that amazing? Now, we're Liberty Missionary Baptist Church. And anybody that's got a mission, the word mission on their name, then they ought to know something about missions. Now you think about it. I was saved in a missionary Baptist church, but we didn't have one missionary. Boy, isn't it amazing how God will let you get in the right places and grow you and teach you. And so we are to send the gospel. Go ye, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Who does? We have. Not just preachers, but every born-again child of God. We have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we thank not. Has anybody received mercy? Anybody's received mercy. He said, then we faint not. But we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here it is. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So we are to send the gospel, go ye. And then, number two, we're to shine the gospel. Look what he says. Go ye where? Into all the world. Now let me ask you, is anybody going to work tomorrow? I'm going to drive to another meeting tomorrow. And you know something? When I drive and I get out of that Suburban and I'm going to put gas in it out yonder about halfway, I've just stepped into the world. I'm going to be in contact with people at gas pumps, at cash registers, at restaurants, and it's my duty as a child of God that I've received mercy that I would tell somebody else about this Jesus that's given me mercy. And so certainly tonight we are to shine the gospel. Now you know, you've always heard the saying, don't do as I say, do. That don't work. That's not going to amount to a hill of beans. That is weak as Campbell's noodle soup. Somebody say amen right there. Matthew 5 and verse number 14. I like chicken stew, by the way. I don't want noodle soup. I want chicken stew. I don't want no water that a chicken's run through. I want where he's killed that chicken. Amen. Matthew 5, verse number 14. Now, watch what it says about shine the gospel. This is what he says. He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, look what it says, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Somebody's watching you. He said, go ye into the world. Not only would he send the gospel, we are to shine the gospel. They're watching our life. And I'm saying, do we pay our bills? Is our word our word? Have you ever invited anybody to church and they come and the guy in the foyer and they got to looking for you but you wouldn't hear? We're to shine the gospel. Listen, I can tell people about Jesus all I want, but until I live it in front of them, I'm not going to do nothing for them. And a lot of you wonder why you're in such a bad, dark place. I can tell you why. So you'll be a light. You know, a little light goes a long way in a bad, dark place. Some of you think that you work with some of the most heathenistic people, and you probably do, that's in the world. But you know what? They're watching you. They're watching what you're doing and where you're going and what you're saying. And so he says, go ye, we're to shine the gospel. And then he says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to share the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. Watch what Paul's saying. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and 3. Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was, here it is, here's the gospel, now watch it. He died for our sins, He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain of this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now we are to share the gospel. What is the gospel? There, what I just read to use the gospel, it's the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? The gospel means good news. But the gospel's only good news if it reaches a sinner in time. If you keep that good news bottled up in you, sinners dying and going to hell that we come in contact with, that's not good news to them if it don't reach them in time. So we are to share the gospel. Romans 10, verse number 17. Romans 10, verse 17. By the way, I want you to mark in your Bible here in Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. You ought to highlight that. You ought to use that for winning people to Jesus. I've heard a lot of people say, Brother Ken, so-and-so wants to get saved. What if you can't get Brother Ken or Brother Mike? You ought to be able to take your Bible and lead them to Christ yourself. And you ought to highlight this Bible in Romans 10 and 9. Look what it says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want to say this real plainly. You don't take this verse and you don't go into Walmart and walk up to somebody in line and say, you believe this? They say, yeah. You say, well, you're saved. It takes the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you live your life in front of sinners, God will convict them through your life. And when you share the gospel, you may go up to someone and say, well, look, have you ever been saved? And they say, well, no, I've never been saved. Well, share with them the gospel. And if you feel like the Lord continues dealing in their heart, lead them to the Lord. Talk with them till they have peace with Christ. But friend, this is not trickery. This is what we show people how to be saved with. Jesus died and left us a gospel. And where men get in trouble and they get out of balance, they leave the Holy Spirit out of it. And they go out and they get professions of faith and there's no Holy Ghost. You listen to me, church. Listen to your preacher tonight. When you get saved, the Bible said you're a new creature in Christ. You don't go to them beer joints no more. You don't hang around them places where you used to hang around. Hey, let me tell you, honey, when Jesus moves in, hell moves out. And you always remember that. And so we must stay balanced. But you ought to have that highlighted in your Bible. If someone comes to you and is troubled and want to be saved and you feel like the Holy Spirit's dealing with the heart, lead them to the Lord Jesus with that passage. Is that good preaching tonight? So we are to share the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1. Now, I didn't get my verse. I got sidetracked. How about Romans 10, verse 17. Watch. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I want to say this. There's something about sheep. Sheep have got to have short memory. Because very seldom, do you remember one of your favorite preachers, and you remember the favorite message he preached, but you really don't know what he preached? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must hear and hear and hear. And he says faith comes. The reason some of you have gotten saved, because you heard preaching, and faith come to you. And you reached out and got faith, and you reached up to grace, and he saved you. And also, we that are saved, it builds up our faith. How? By hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Wouldn't it be something if I only preached one sermon out of every text and couldn't go there and preach it no more? What about Amazing Grace? How many times do we sing it? Wouldn't that be something every time we sung a song, we had to tear it out and couldn't use it no more? So preachers, don't be ashamed about using the same passage. If the Holy Ghost tells you to preach it, preach it and let it rip for the glory of God. So we are to share the gospel. Then 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Now, verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God, look here, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching's amazing, isn't it? I mean, no sermon's never the same. I can take this outline that I built this evening and preach it tonight. I can preach it again next week, and I guarantee you, you can play the tape. It may be similar, but it'll never be identical. God's amazing with what He does and moves through preaching. Look what he says. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what this word preaching means? A lot of people thinks it means screaming. That's mannerisms. It tickles me watching y'all. I'm bringing some of the best preachers in America. They don't raise their voice. They don't run and shout and kick and cry. And y'all say, well, when's he going to preach? Yeah. Amen. Well, this word preaching, you know what it means? It means to tell the king's message. That's simply all it means. Now, that's why it's red cars and black cars. I'm glad y'all like loud running preachers. Or I wouldn't have a place to preach every week. But let me tell you, just because a man comes in and he's not like your pastor, don't mean he's not preaching. Preaching means to proclaim the message from the king. We got a message of the kingdom. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's why it's red cars and white cars and green cars and some car colors I'd never buy. But I found this. So goes the preacher, so goes the church. I'm glad y'all wild as I am. Amen. Thank the Lord. We're in a lively church. Matter of fact, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Where did you get in the Bible where you're not supposed to shout in the church? Where did you find that in the Bible? Where did you find that in the Bible you couldn't raise your hands? Well, I'm too dignified. I hope the Holy Ghost gets on you and embarrasses the far out of you. So tonight, I want you to remember that preaching is simply telling the King's message. There's difference of mannerisms in preaching. Your preacher's mannerisms are different. But honey, let me tell you, a man can stand here and open this book, and if he's reading the Word of God and proclaiming the King's message, he's preaching. Ain't you glad you're having Sunday school tonight? Now he says this. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we must send the gospel. Go ye. We must shine as the gospel into, and we must share the gospel. He says, preach. And then watch this. He says to every creature, we're to show the gospel. Every creature. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 2. We are to show the gospel. Listen to what he said. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, we have what we call tracts in our church. Brother J.C. Stevens makes these tracts up, and I've written a few things inside, but it's so easy to give the gospel to sinners. You know, when you eat, and every waiter is going to look and see what kind of tip you left. And some of you leaving 3%, and they following you out the car, won't know what your problem is. Amen? Sort of like what you're doing on your tithe. God's won't know what your problem is. Somebody say amen right there. But it's so easy to take a few of these tracts and put in your shirt pocket and leave. And you know, to see any place, you'd be surprised the people that would read these gospel tracts. It's so easy to present the gospel to people. And you know, this isn't what you do. You don't get a tract and you say, hey son, you want to go to hell? Who's ever told you they wanted to go to hell? That'd be goofy, wouldn't it? You don't do that. Hey, boy, you want to go to hell? Read that tract. Well, that's crazy. You say, son, I want to give this tract and invite you to our church and tell you something about Jesus. Have you ever been saved? Tell me no. Well, let me tell you, I want you to read this. Because Jesus died for you and He loves you, son. And let me ask you something. Have you got a few minutes that I can tell you about Christ? You don't? Well, just read it later. Read it later. And look at that. There's a number on the back. And if you need to give me a call, give me a call. And, you know, we got a preacher down there. I'm sure he could tell you a little more. But if you'll just read this and trust Christ, I ain't even got to be with you. I just want you to read it and really think about where you're going in eternity. Could you do that? And so you don't get people. Now, Brother Wendell, I'm not going to hurt you, okay? You don't get people in a headlock and say, now, you say yes to Jesus, I ain't going to leave you till you do it. You share the gospel. Want to invite you to our church. And I hear this, oh, well, what if a black person comes up? Well, what if a black person does come? What if a green person comes up? I mean, son, we got some purple people now. Look what he said. He said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say just go in the nice subdivision. Just go in down there at Sunset Hills and visit. Them people think you is crazy here where your preacher preaches. I tell you where you can find somebody like where your preacher preaches. Go down some of these dirt roads. Go down some of these old trailer parks that where the average church don't want them and their young'uns don't dress right and the little things need a bath. Thank God we got some women in this church to go down there and bathe them young'uns. Somebody say amen right there. We got families that put decent clothes on them and love them. My goodness, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, listen, he said, that epistle, that your life is an open book and men are reading it. And so we see this great commission. We see no doubt it is a mission. Number two, it's a message. Now I want you to look what it says back in that text. Now we'll be closing. It is a message. And preach the gospel to every creature. What's that mean? It don't mean you got to get up on the hood of the van and go to hacking the way your preacher does. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them the King's message. And watch what he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now a lot of people throws that baptismal up. But I want to share something with you. Notice the message. It's a message for people. He that believeth. In John 3:16, watch what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We preach to whosoever. And you know something over in John's Gospel, chapter number 4 and verse 4, here's the same procedure that's going on. For an angel went down in a certain season in the pool, troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. God saves whosoever, He saves a whatsoever, but He does not save whensoever. You hear me tonight? John 6:44. What are you going to do with this verse? No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I believe God deals with every sinner. That's why it's so important when God's dealing with your heart to come to Christ. You can't come just when you want to come. You're going to come when the Holy Spirit of God deals with you and pulls you toward salvation. You ought to thank the Lord one day He come to where you was, convicted you of your sins, and saved you by His amazing grace. So the message, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All right, preacher, what are you going to do with that baptism? I'm going to baptize them if they believe. But baptism is not essential to salvation. Let me ask you, what about the thief on the cross? He said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, I didn't read no place in my Bible where them Roman soldiers pulled them nails out and let him baptize that old boy. Matter of fact, did you know the Bible says, I want to show you something, if I can find it right. John 4, verses 1 through 2. John 4, 1 through 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Watch this. Though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee and must needs go through Samaria. Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. Now if anybody knows about water, your preacher knows about water. They told me to be baptized when I was 12, wash away my sins. If I could live a good life, I could wait and see if I could make it to heaven. I've got a lot better story to tell than that tonight. Look what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. If baptism was essential for salvation, friend, the Apostle Paul would have never said verse 17. Now, well then, why does the Great Commission say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Certainly all he's inquiring about is obedience. When we're saved and we're baptized, we're showing the world that we've died with Christ and we've been raised in the newness of life to a testimony to a community. And if you've been saved tonight by the grace of God, you ought to be scripturally baptized, immersed. It ain't no sprinkling business. Amen. It's immersed. Oh, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they went down in the water and come up out of the water. And so certainly the people of the message. Not only people, but the power. Look what the gospel does tonight. The Bible says, and he that believeth shall be saved. That word means delivered. You ought to be glad you're saved tonight. See, we're so blessed. We're in such a wonderful place. And God has so blessed us. A lot of times we forget about even while we're here. Because He saved you. He delivered you from this world and He's put you into another world. And you ought to thank God for that tonight. And you know, it's not a lot to get excited about. I don't know why you'd get excited about going to heaven. Some of you excited about going down to Panama City with them tar balls washed up on the beach. I don't know why you ain't excited about going to heaven. Matter of fact, if Brother Tim, Miss Brenda tells me, where would I want to go? I would love to go to Argentina, Brother Randall. I'd love to go out there and shoot them birds again. Somebody say amen right there. And if Brother Tim, Miss Brenda say, hey, preacher, we're going to Argentina. We're going to shoot 200 boxes of 12 gauge. That don't do nothing for me because I ain't going.
That's right.
But if he says, hey, Pastor, I want to invite you to a trip. Praise God, it's on then, buddy. That's why some of you don't get tore up about heaven. I wonder, are you going? I mean, we just going to heaven. Man, some of these visitors this morning, some of y'all got tore up and they're looking around like. I'm glad the inside of this building don't match the outside. This thing looks like the Presbyterian Taj Mahal. And it ought to be the prettiest place in town. You hear your preacher tonight? That book says God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. But honey, it ought not be the deadest place in town neither. Somebody say amen tonight. The message of the people and the power, it saves them. And then there's a penalty. The Bible said that he, watch this, you notice what it says? He didn't say, but he that is baptized not, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How pitiful. That word means condemned. It means to be judged against. Folks, listen, sinners dying going to hell. You know, I pulled some statistics one time. I don't know how out of date they are. I know I've had it in my Bible a while. But if you're 25 years old and you get saved, you're one out of 10,000 that get saved. And when you reach 35, you're one out of 50,000. And when a man reaches 45 years old or lady and they get saved, they're one out of 200,000 that get saved. And when a person reaches 60, they're one out of 400,000. And at 75, they're one out of 700,000 people that get saved. That's amazing. You know, I was teaching the other Wednesday night before I left, Christianity on the planet's only some 23 to 26%. That means 75% of the planet's dying going to hell. You hear me tonight? Few be that fine. Muslims ain't going to heaven. They're bypassing the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. You better not glimpse, and you better not just sort of take your eyes off this book. Because He said Jesus is the way, not some way. There's not another way. Listen, friend, all roads don't lead to heaven tonight. But Jesus saves. And so our great commission, we see the mission, the message, and then the ministry. The ministry. The Bible said, and these signs shall follow them. I love this in verse 20. They went forth and preached everywhere. They doing what? They telling the king's message. Where can you tell the king's message tomorrow? Is anybody working? Is anybody eating? Is anybody at a ball field? Is anybody getting groceries? Just tell the king's message. Tell the king's message. And he said, the Lord working with him. What great opportunities we have. There are people, you know something else, the harder times to get, maybe somebody will wake up. Times is tough. There's a bigger population unemployed tonight that's ever been since I've been living. Times are hard. I know times are hard. But let me tell you something. They must be pretty good because the church house ain't totally full. You remember when 9/11 happened and you couldn't even set up in our balcony for about 3 weeks? People got over that. Let me tell you something, friend. America's took their eyes off Jesus. There's a payday coming. Now the Word of God don't mean nothing and nothing's wrong no more. And America don't blush no more. Sin still sin and wrong still wrong. And honey, God's still God. And don't you think we're going to shake our fists in His face at a nation and storms not a-coming. You better hunker down, honey. We ain't seen nothing yet. But we got a great opportunity to lead people to Jesus. You'd be surprised the people that would come to this church if you'd just ask them. And you know something? You don't go and say, do you want to come to our church? My Lord, why would I want what you got?
Have you ever went in a good restaurant and eat? Has anybody ever been to the top of the river? Has anybody been over the... Could anybody raise their hand out before you fall out asleep in the aisle? Have you ever eaten any better coleslaw and cornbread and turnip greens? And I mean, time they bring you them catfish fillets, I'm full. I'm ready to go back home. You give me a big glass of sweet tea and about 7 lemons squeezed out in that thing. Give me a tray of that cornbread and a bucket of that slaw. And honey, I'm ready to come back to Bowden. Somebody say amen right there. But I'll tell everybody you ought to go there and eat because it's worth the drive. We ought to get excited about Jesus that lives in us and that we worship and adore. And we ought to be excited about Him. We ought to get excited again about what Jesus has done for us. Who have you won to the Lord since you've been saved? Think about it. If we're going to be a missionary Baptist church, where's the missionaries? I'm glad we've got them. Go ye into all the world. You may not go to the Philippines, but you can send somebody that will. And thank the Lord we can do that. And honey, missions is the lifeline of this ministry. Mission. Let me tell you something. God uses men and women to go out and share the gospel. He does. Now, I don't believe in women preachers. Somebody say amen right there. I don't believe in women deacons. Somebody say amen tonight. But a lady can share the gospel. Ain't no woman supposed to be an authority. Now, don't throw no book at me. I know you're probably leading the Women's Lib Union over there where you work. But that Bible's done wrote things down that you can't change. And no matter what you believe, it don't change the fact that book's right. Well, I won't preach longer, but I got to preach all week this week. God's amazing. Now, I want to close with this. I want to leave it with you. Matthew 9 and 36. Matthew 9. The message, the people, the power, and the penalty. Matthew 9. 36. Bible said in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching, look, the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom. And then, and He was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers or the workers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Miss Sherry, would you come tonight and play me something? I want to say this and I'm going to be done. I realize this, church. I don't want to get out. I don't want to forget about where you live and your jobs you've got to work, and I know that you're tired. I know you've got young'uns that you're running everywhere trying to make ends meet. But you listen to me. Have you ever thought about simply taking a handful of tracts? He says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers, the workers... Have you ever thought about just going down here to Bowden, Georgia, where all them young'uns is playing ball and all them mom and daddies is... It looks like an ant bed down there. Has any of you men ever thought about maybe just meeting here at the church and praying and going out and passing out tracts and just simply inviting people to church? The harvest is plenteous. But the laborers are few. You know, a lot of times we think, well, you know, preacher, I'm saved. My kids are saved. We come to church. I pay my tithes. And that's wonderful. But what about what I'm preaching tonight, church? What about what I'm preaching tonight? What about that old boy or that lady that you're working with? Have you ever told them about Christ? Well, preacher, they'd look at me and you may be surprised that they may just be waiting on you to invite them to church. I thought about a man, Brother David, below me. He's just retired, one of my neighbors. I've got to go and I've got to go to this man's house. I've got to give him a tract and I've got to invite him to our church. I'd hate to know, Brother Gerald, my neighbors died and went to hell and I never shared the gospel with them. Do you realize, church, people's dying? You realize some of your mom and daddies, if somebody don't reach them, they're going to die and go to hell. Do you realize about your children, if somebody don't reach them, they're going to die and go to hell? I've been in prisons preaching. You'd be surprised that the boys would grab them tracts and they'd say, preacher, I want to be saved. And you'd lead them to the Lord on their bunk. And you know that the Lord is, they're just weeping and broken. Lord, they say, Lord, I want a change in my life. Let me tell you something. Do you think Jesus just saved us to warm a pew? We've got teenagers. We've got young people in our church. What about your little friends in school that their mom and daddies won't bring them to church? Won't you ask your mom and daddies to pick them up and bring them with you when you come? So much work we could do in our community. You know what we do? We want to keep our place nice and beautiful, and I'm glad we do. We keep the yard manicured and we keep the gates open, and I know that. I know the doors aren't locked. But we're going to miss some of the biggest blessings of walking through this world if we don't realize what I preach tonight on go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. No, you might not can go overseas, but you can go into your Jerusalem. You can go in the outskirts into your Judea. God's put you in a place sovereignly. He's put you there for a reason. I wonder what you could do for Christ. If you simply just said, Lord, use me. Tonight I want to open this altar and I want to just ask you something. What do you need from the Lord? We've got tracts out here in this foyer. We've got nearly 1,000 tracts in. Let's use them. Let's be a blessing. Let's have a burden for sinners and ask God to reach them and to use us for His honor and His glory. Whatever you need tonight, maybe you want to come say, Lord, just give me a burden for the Lord. God, help me to be a worker. God, help me to be conscious of the people that's dying and going to hell all around me, all around this church. Help us tonight. Lord, help us to realize my neighbors, Lord, them and our community. Lord, help me to just have a burden to give them a gospel tract and invite them. Young people, you ought to pray and ask God to give you a burden for your classmates, for those on your ball team, for your coaches and your teachers. Young people, you ought to ask God to give you a burden to be a light. Out on your jobs, be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.